storms are likely tomorrow night. The high tomorrow, 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday NFL Draft edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. We got a fun one planned for you here on the show. I'm really excited because we got a couple things coming at you. Number one, it's the NFL draft, right? It kicks off tonight. Now it is, a few days. It's going to go through the weekend. But tonight's round number one. We all know it, how exciting it is, you know, getting to watch the countdown, see those guys get to walk across that stage over in Pittsburgh. Now, I will say, Reed, I have a bad habit, man. I watch like the first 10 picks, then I start kind of getting distracted, man. I start kind of kicking back, and I don't know. I'm not saying it gets boring, but definitely looking forward to it, man. We got a couple guys that are in attendance. We'll see where those guys end up if they, in fact, do hear their names called tonight. Number of mock drafts have been coming out, and, well, depends on who you ask or what draft you're looking at. We could have two guys, could have one. Some people think you might even not have one single Alabama guy drafted tonight, and I don't think that's the case. But we'll have to see. You never know how this NFL draft thing can work. But Ty Simpson and Caden Proctor both in attendance for tonight's draft over in Pittsburgh. Jaisha, one of our very own, she's out there covering it. So make sure you guys stay up to date with everything that she's posting, all the content that she's putting out. She does an awesome job. It helps us out a lot. At Jai Sports, you can check her stuff out on X and various other platforms as well. But we'll definitely be talking a lot about the NFL draft, and I'm excited to announce we'll be doing it with somebody really close to me, somebody that you guys definitely know extremely well, Alabama legend and really future Hall of Famer in the National Football League, C.J. Mosley. He'll be joining the show at 11:30. He'll be joining us via the stream. So if you guys want to come hang out, watch us do the interview, talk some NFL draft, talk some football, man, come do that. You can join us at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, of course, at the Miller's Edge on X, and of course on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page for all our Facebook users. But really excited about that. We'll talk about CJ's experience, right? He was a first round draft pick back in 2013, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, to the Baltimore Ravens. Had a great period there with the Ravens before ending up signing with the New York Jets, where he finished out his career. And without a doubt, at some point, he will be inducted in that Hall of Fame, earned himself a gold jacket. But before then, he'll be joining us here on the Miller's Edge, and we'll talk about his career, his experience, and what he's doing now, because it still very much involves football and the NFL draft, which we'll let him talk about that. But you guys have probably already seen it. He started up a sports agency, really cool stuff, Legacy Sports Trust, and I'll let him talk about that. Some of the guys that they have, I don't think they have an Alabama guy that's in this draft, but I know they definitely are working with some guys. But we'll let him explain all that, and we'll do that here at 11:30. So that'll be in about 20 minutes. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. And of course, we always are joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello, attorney and professor, right? Official legal representation here on the show. We'll talk some about the NFL draft, plus some Alabama football discussion. And of course, this contract extension, Reed, we got to discuss it, man. We'll do that in the next segment or two before we get CJ on here to talk some NFL draft, because that's the hot topic right now, not only here in Alabama, Reed, but really all over the country in the college football world. And it wasn't just Coach DeBoer. We talked about it yesterday. There was a number of names on the docket, but a matter of fact, I want to say Coach DeBoer's name was added kind of last minute after we got off the air. Now, we're being honest here. They didn't just come up with the contract extension and an hour or two before they went and did their video Zoom call to approve it with the Board of Trustees and all the other folks on the line. It was already in the works. It just wasn't initially on the docket, but of course it ended up popping up there. And now we've learned a lot of the details. Matter of fact, shout out to all the beat writers and reporters that have pretty much scanned this entire contract. I mean, I've seen all type of things from how many times he can use the private jets to how much they give him for his phone bill. I mean, so we got all the details. Sorry, Coach, we're pocket watching a little bit. We'll discuss that because I do know there's a lot, I want to say questions surrounding this, maybe some questions. There's definitely a lot of comments depending on who you ask, Reed, both in the fan base and externally. Some people really excited about the news of the extension. Some people having a little bit of a reserve Like I mentioned, wasn't just him. A number of other assistants, pretty much every assistant, did in fact get either a raise or an extension outside of three names, which is kind of interesting. You look at, you know, the two guys that remained from Coach Saban's staff. Those names, Freddie Roach and Gillespie, both those guys were not included. And also Ryan Grubb. So could be a little bit of a prove it type year. I know another thing that stood out was Adrian Clem. He was only signed to a 1-year deal. So it definitely feels like that's also kind of a prove it situation. But we'll dive into some of those details here in a minute when we come back. But first, we'll hit this timeout. But we're definitely going to talk a lot about the draft. Definitely going to talk a lot about this contract extension. I know a lot of you have thoughts on that. And I want to hear those thoughts. 205-342-9904. Again, we do have CJ Mosley join us at 11:30. But after we get done with CJ, we can take some calls at the top of the hour. Or if you guys want to try to sneak in on the phone lines between 11, I don't know, up until 11:30, maybe we can squeeze in one call, because I'm sure you guys definitely want to offer your thoughts. We'll also get a chance to hear from Greg Byrne. I know he went on a Zoom call. I think he addressed the media, at least kind of spoke on behalf of the contract extension. And it wasn't just football, even though that was majority of the list. But you also saw women's soccer. I think their coach was also part of it. Of course, basketball, Coach Oates, his assistant, Coach Murphy. So, I mean, there's a number of names that were addressed here. But I think the one that's definitely, you know, stealing all the attention here is head coach Kalen DeBoer. $12.5 million buckaroos a year, which is a $2 million increase from what he initially was set to make this upcoming season. So definitely a big time extension. And of course, Coach DeBoer, his family, you know, the organization, this is just a win for everybody, right? But at the end of the day, there's nobody that benefits more than this whole thing, guys, than a man by the name of Jimmy Sexton. Who is the agent who's brokering all of these deals, man? Listen, since this is a pocket watching type of day, I'm kind of curious. What is Jimmy Sexton's net worth at this point? I mean, that is like, you know, S-tier pocket watching like we're doing right now. But I can't help but just wonder. I mean, like, this guy, like, represents literally every coach you can imagine. As a matter of fact, I think he was C.J. Mosley's agent while he was playing before he ended up, you know, starting his own agency. So I mean, maybe C.J. will have some thoughts on Jimmy Sexton, who's definitely rolling in some dough after his latest coach just signed another extension that makes, I don't know, definitely a little bit of a monopoly on college football. But there are some details we'll dive into that I definitely want to iron out, because I know there's a lot of questions. Heck, I even had some questions myself. A lot of people were talking about the buyout questions, right? Because there's a lot of, I guess, notes made about that, right? How that has changed. But nobody really pointed out, at least initially, kind of what it will look like on the other side of things. Those are the buyout numbers if another school ended up hiring Coach DeBoer. So we'll talk about all those little details in the contract, give our thoughts, get y'all's thoughts right here on the show. Then, of course, at 11:30, we'll be joined by Alabama legend, future Hall of Famer, C.J. Mosley, right here to talk some NFL draft on the Miller's Edge. Title 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got to hit this first time out when we come back.
Leaf Hotline at 800-477-1462. 800-477-1462. 800-477-1462.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, we got CJ Mosley joining the show here in about 12 minutes or so. But first, we got to talk this contract extension for head coach Kalen DeBoer. But not just him, a number of other folks. Let's go ahead and dive into it. Again, I want to get y'all's thoughts on this in a minute, because I know there's a lot of people that want to talk about this. So we'll talk about this. We'll talk about the draft. We got a loaded day here on the show. So I put this on the screen. So here's the rundown of the football side of things that, you know, I think this is everybody. It's the football staff. But it points out who received raises and extensions and also who didn't. So here we go. Ryan Grubb, nothing done there. His contract is set to expire in 2027. Could be a little bit of a prove-it type deal this upcoming season. The other two coaches here on this list that didn't have anything done to their contracts that also are set to expire in 2027 are ironically the only two Saban assistants that were left on staff following Coach Saban's retirement and the hiring of Coach DeBoer. But some notable things on here as well before we get to Coach DeBoer's contract. You got Kane Womack. He's set to make $2.65 million in 2028. He's been extended. Now, personally, I would not be shocked if he ends up being hired or you know, ends up earning a head coaching job at some point if the defense continues on the path that we've seen. But still, I think it makes sense, man. He's done a really nice job with the defense. Now, are there things that they can get better at? Of course, it's everybody. But when you look at what they've done statistically, even last year, just kind of how they kept things afloat when the offense really started to struggle late in the year, there's no denying that they've done a really nice job with their efforts on the defensive side of the football. So it makes total sense. I guess the biggest head scratcher for me here would probably be Jay Nunez. They went ahead and extended him. A lot of people thought he might have been let go this offseason, but seems like you know, there's probably a different sense in the building when it comes to the special teams coach, and we'll just have to see how that all works out. But at least the kicker that they brought in, he looks a little bit better, and I got a little bit more faith in that this year. Regardless, some other things I guess that stood out: Adrian Clem, he only signed a 1-year deal, a little interesting there. I guess it's probably a prove it type situation there, but maybe they're just trying to be patient.
Real quick on Clem, because we were literally just talking about it here in the studio. During his time with the Patriots, he stepped away indefinitely for a major medical issue. And his next gig was USC in 2025. So I don't know if maybe that played a factor into it. But, like, he stepped away in November of 23 and was out until he signed with USC in 25.
Yeah, and no, I appreciate that. Yeah, and no, I don't think that's probably it. It could be. You never know. I just wouldn't be shocked if they just want to also kind of – I wouldn't say, like, not keep themselves safe, but you just don't know, right? I mean, you just kind of want to see how it goes. I think that's a good possibility, or it could be health related. I don't know, but
you're also still paying Kapilovic $900,000 for this year as well.
Well, and there you go. That also probably could have some effect. You know, Derek Nix also is on here, only making $400,000 for his first year, which literally puts him as like the lowest paid position coach here on the list, if I'm not mistaken. And then it goes all the way up to 900 to me. That those both kind of just feel like, let's see how they can work, right? Let's see how it goes, then we'll kind of go from there. Which, I mean, I don't blame them, right? I mean, you got to kind of figure out who works well with what you're trying to do. And to my knowledge, neither of those two coaches had any real ties. Maybe there's some little tie here and there, but not like some of these other coaches that we see on staff. I don't know. Something to point out there. But regardless of all that, there's definitely some other big raises here. Courtney Morgan got a big bump. I think he was at like 875. Now he's at 1.2. I think it makes sense. The GM is really important for all football organizations now. Like, we used to kind of, I wouldn't say we laughed at it initially when we first started hearing about GMs. We kind of were just in disbelief that, man, college football has GMs right now. It's just kind of crazy. But now you see how important they are and the impact that they have when it comes to retaining your roster. Recruiting, they're the ones putting everything together, right? They're in charge of deciding how much we're going to pay this guy or allocate this to high school recruiting or allocate this amount of money to transfer portal. So you need those guys. So, I mean, it makes total sense. The one that you have here, who's done a really nice job with, you know, putting together a roster, doing a nice job recruiting some really good football players, he's going to be paid accordingly. Coach Balu, I know you guys complain, not you guys. Some people complain about strength and conditioning. I'm telling you, he's one of the best strength coaches in the country. You see him getting extension to raise, really nice stuff there. And of course, who's not on this list, but also saw my guy, Jeff Allen, man. You can't have this program without Jeff Allen. So I'm glad that they definitely made sure they took care of him. But now let's get to the big one, right? The main thing we're talking about here. Head coach Kalen DeBoer, he got his contract extended 7 years. Ends up being $12.5 million annually. I believe it was about a bump of $2 million. And again, depending on who you ask or what angle you look at it from, there's going to be a mixed bag of reactions here. For me, I feel like I can understand where everybody's coming from. On one hand, you understand we're in a very competitive market. There's going to be teams that are reaching out, trying to hire a coach. We already saw that last football season. Michigan, Penn State, two Big Ten programs trying to hire Coach DeBoer away. Allegedly, Michigan had a blank check waiting for him, and they really wanted him, right? So when you take that into consideration, you also look at the fact that his buyout, I believe, was only like $4 million. If someone wanted to hire him, they would just pay Alabama $4 million, and that was it. They could hire him off. That didn't put us in a great secure position, given that you believe this guy is your long-term answer. So from that aspect, it makes total sense to try to increase that buyout from that standpoint. But then also understand, I think Greg Burton spoke about this, you know, trying to be competitive. You look around college football, right? You know, there's new deals being done. Coaches are making more and more, and you want to be competitive. You want to make sure that you're doing things the right way to make sure somebody is satisfied and feels like they're properly being compensated. So I understand all that, but I also understand the other angle of it, of people saying, well, he was already still under contract for, what was it, maybe five more years or whatever it was at the time. I don't remember exactly, but I do know he still had a number of years on his contract, and he was making north of, it was like 10.8 or whatever it was. He's making 10 point something million dollars. I guess maybe around 10.5 if it was a bump of $2 million a year. And I think a lot of people are saying like, well, dang, well, if he had that much time left on his contract and through 2 years, he's definitely done good stuff. There's no denying it. For anybody saying that he hasn't necessarily done any good, that's just not true, right? I mean, I understand having a high standard. And I understand people being a little critical. But to make it seem like he hasn't accomplished anything in 2 years, it's just false, right? There's no denying that there is improvement from year one to year two, right? Like, that's just a fact. You go 9-4 in year one. Second year, you go 10-2 in the regular season. You end up ultimately at 11-4 after earning a trip to the SEC championship game and a playoff berth where I believe we're the first team to go on the road and win a playoff game. So there's clear improvement, and you're talking about making it to the SEC championship in a conference that now consists of, what, 16 teams with the likes of the Georgias, the Texas A&Ms, Texas, Ole Miss. I mean, all teams outside of Texas, they also are playoff teams, top 10, top 12 type teams. That is a huge accomplishment in itself, and there's no denying the good that has been done. But I also understand where some of the concerns come into play when you kind of, you know, you go under the hood, Reed. Like, I'm a big car guy, right? You lift the hood and you start really diagnosing some things, and you're saying, well, I understand all the good I just named, but I also can see how people have some concerns, because overall he's 20-8 in two seasons. And it's not so much the eight that you see, but it's how we got to some of those eights on the loss column, right? Whether it's the Florida State game, I was the first one talking about Indiana was a really good football team. I was a little concerned about that game, but even then, you know, 38-3, that's tough, right? I mean, even though it's almost like we talk about like the backhanded compliments. It's like, you know, being in the final eight is phenomenal, but then the performance that we see is just kind of like, man, that's a tough pill to swallow. So with that said, I understand completely both angles of it, but at the end of the day, here's my thing. Do I personally feel like it was a little premature to do something like this? Yes. However, let me be clear, I completely understand it and understand that it was probably something you kind of had to do if you wanted to give yourself security, knowing that in this day and age, with the low buyout like that, with how hungry these other universities are, and you at least know, listen, you know, there might be a couple of things that need to be addressed, right, that aren't necessarily exactly up to the standard that we're expecting. But if we want to at least kind of secure that, not only secure him, but understand that, listen, we've been able to recruit, what, two back-to-back top five recruiting classes. I don't know where we currently stand. I know it's really early. It's probably a little bit behind, whatever the case may be. But, you know, not only are you with the contract like this really securing your coach, but you're kind of securing your culture and your system and what you've been developing. We got a lot of really good young talent. We talked about this yesterday on the show, I believe. I mean, you're looking at guys like Keelan Russell. You're looking at a core of young players, you know, Lott, Sierra Brooks, Michael Carroll, Jackson Lloyd has a potential to be a good player. London Simmons on the D-line, DJ Lee. You look at all the secondary guys and all their potential. And there's a lot of good football players, right? And on one hand, I understand it. Like, you know, the standard here is extremely high, and it's probably not fair at times. But I think you got to understand, you got to give somebody a little bit of time. And while, yes, there are some things that you can be concerned about through what we've seen in 2 years, I'm not going to deny that. I'll be the first one to say I have those as well. I share it with you. I also understand there's been a lot of positives that you can build off of over the last 2 years. And I think that's one of the most important things when you look at the whole picture, Reed, right? I mean, it's not just about the contract. Then this is the last thing I'll say, because I know we got to hit a break. We got CJ coming up here in a minute. Then we'll dive back in this conversation after we talk some NFL draft. You got to remember this, too, when you look at it. You know, the contract, it sounds a lot crazier, but if you really think about it, I want to say his buyout, if we wanted to terminate him, because it's the big one everybody was asking about, myself included, I just was curious. Because my biggest thing was, are we putting ourselves in a big bind by doing something like this? Yes and no, because really, I think the buyout at the end of this year was already still going to be like $60 million. After this extension, it only goes to 67 and a half. If I read that correctly, now I'll double check, but that was the way I understood it. So if you're saying you're exchanging, you know, $7.5 million for a buyout for more security, right? And to hope that you can, like, this ends up working out and you're doubling down on this and you keep your core of young guys. I don't think that's that bad. Plus you also get the security of now the buyout for another team to hire him is much more. It's doubled. It's doubled by every single year. We want to dive more into this, but first, you got to hit this timeout. We got CJ Mosley coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, talking some NFL draft. Don't go anywhere. Got to hit a quick timeout, and we'll be joined.
High quality ingredients. We want to say, that sounds great. We've been doing that since 1974.
Under the biggest cactus in town, Taco Costa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Red App and use promo code EZ25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first fill up. That's EZ25.
Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And welcome back into this Thursday NFL draft edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking some contract extension. Head coach Kalen DeBoer earning himself big old payday, but we're going to take a quick little segue because it is night one of the NFL draft kicking off tonight. And what better way to kick that off than having a former first round draft pick himself, an Alabama legend. You guys are all familiar with him. Great friend of mine, family to me. But the guy that team captain at Alabama, had a great career there. We all know that. Then went on to have a Hall of Fame type career in the NFL before starting his own agency. Now he's got another whole, side of things he's working on with the NFL draft. We got CJ Mosley joining us. CJ, welcome in, brother.
Thank you, Christian. Nice. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Absolutely, man. Hey, it's all fun here, man. We're chilling, man. We're talking some NFL draft. But listen, man, I knew I had to get you on this week because I know you had the full experience. You got to go to, the NFL draft. I don't remember where it was your year, but first.
It was in New York, so that was actually the last year that they did it there.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Dang, so you had the real deal experience. But tell me this, though, because it was 2013, right?
Or was 2014, it? Technically, but yeah. You know, the football calendar, yeah.
Yeah. Because I was about to say, I couldn't remember if it was, because I remember, so Coach Saban called me when he was at the draft, and I couldn't remember if it was that year, probably was maybe the year before, though, but I remember him telling me, he's like, oh, I'm at the draft right now, But that wouldn't make sense, though, because I would have already been here, because me and Jamie got here in 14. So that would have been then. And that's right. Yeah, because Jamie went up there. And I was thinking that was when he called me, you were there, because he had mentioned, like, oh, I'm at the draft with so-and-so. And I thought he was saying he was with you, but then that doesn't make sense. But did HaHa come out in the same year as you, or was he a year before you?
Yeah, same year.
Dang, so maybe he was lying to me, man. I swore he said he was with either you or HaHa, but that wouldn't make sense because this would have been in 2013, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, that's funny, though. But speaking of that moment, man, take us back, because you said that you were in New York. That was last year they did it. You got to hear your name called. You walked across that stage, man. Like, take us back to that moment. Like, what was going through your mind? Like, do you remember kind of the conversations you were having? Did you have a feeling where you might go? Was it unexpected to you? What was going through your mind at that time?
Yeah, I kind of start from the end, because that was probably the most boring part, you know, waiting for your name. So you watch on TV, you know, you have the commercial breaks, and it's like every 15 minutes a player getting called. But, you know, I went, you know, round one, pick 17, and that took 2 hours. So for me, it took some emotions out of it. So I thought I was, you know, I was going to cry or, you know, something like that. But, you know, you're just sitting down 2 hours and, you know, you're talking to your agent and you kind of get an idea of who might pick you. But like I said, you're just sitting there waiting. So, but the whole experience was great. Walking across the stage, you know, we got to pick out our song, our walkout song. So I barely heard it, but it was just a cool moment, you know. But leading up to it, just that whole weekend, you know, I had my family from Alabama, my family from Chicago, they came. So we had about 30 plus people. They all paid their way, but it was a great time. It was my first time, you know, just being in Alabama. It was my first time going to the city. So that was, you know, an experience all in itself as a, you know, young Alabama boy getting to, you know, go to the Big Apple, seeing Radio City Hall and all those things. So, I mean, it was a great time, man. I got to walk the red carpet with my mother. You know, both my grandparents were there. My grandfather, unfortunately, you know, my grandfather on my dad's side no longer with us, but he was always a big football fan. So, I mean, just, you know, just the spirit and just the family environment. And obviously, you know, you just witnessing your dreams come true. It was a great moment.
No, I mean, absolutely. And I remember seeing a bunch of pictures, man, because Jamie was there with you, right? Jamie
got
to go there?
Yeah, Jamie was there.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I remember a lot of those, but even like the red carpet stuff. So, man, it sounds a great experience. Now, I mean, I was drafted, didn't get to walk across the stage, so mine was a little bit different, but it's cool hearing how that went for you. We got two guys here. Oh, I shouldn't say here. I'm not in Pittsburgh, but they're in Pittsburgh. We got Ty Simpson, you got Caden Proctor, two guys that are hoping to hear their name called this evening. It kind of seems like it's like, I wouldn't say hit or miss, but I think there's a chance that either both of them hear their name called, maybe one, or who knows? You know how this thing goes. You just never know. If you could talk to them or give them a message, kind of like some advice for how to kind of just go about this evening, man. Anything that you'd offer those two guys?
I mean, it's out of your control. I mean, once after that last game is played, you know, the only thing you can do is just train and, you know, try to put some good, you know, film work on tape as far as, you know, your speed and the combine and, you know, visit the teams, you know, you're doing your interview. So you're really just interviewing to these teams and you still don't know, because, you know, I met with the Rams the most in my process as far as just the coaches, talking to them, just communicating. So in my eye, I'm like, oh, they're the most interested. So I'm definitely going there. But, you know, as I looked at it, you know, and hearing where I would be picked, seeing that they had the number three pick, I was like, you know, maybe, maybe not. And, you know, we all know the history of that. They ended up picking up Aaron Donald. So, you know, they made the right pick for them. But yeah, so you just never know. And all you got to do is just trust your process, sit back, you know, let your agent or whoever, you know, handling and, you know, communicating with you, let them keep communicating with you and just go from there.
Y'all had some dogs in your draft class, man. I'm going through it now. I had to refresh my memory of your draft class, and it you had some dudes for real, man. I mean, you had Clowney going number one overall. Mm-hmm. You had Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews, Mike Evans. I mean, Anthony Barr, I'm a big fan of him. You know, he played backer with the Vikings for a while. I mean, Odell, yourself, of course. You mentioned Aaron Donald, man. Goodness gracious. I mean, you're talking about there's
and you know, some sleepers in there, too. You know, second, you know, third round guys. You know, think about Jarvis Landry. He's in that class. Mm. So there's some ball players. I mean, it's been a lot of ball in drafts since I've been drafted, but no, I would like to argue that we have a, you know, one of the, you know, top talented classes, you know, the past, I guess, decade now.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I mean, I feel like I'm reading off at least a handful, if not more, future Hall of Famers, including yourself.
Martin, our center from the Cowboys. You know, he came in the same year. So that's another story. You know, when I was talking with my agent and at the draft, he was telling me, you know, like, if the Cowboys have a high chance of picking you, but they're really interested in Zach Martin. And if they don't, it's a good chance you're going to Baltimore. So, like, those are the type of, you know, conversations you have with your agents, you know, behind the scenes, or, you know, if you have to drop behind the curtain. So they definitely keep you up to date, because, like you said, it's a lot of moving parts. Teams are trading and pick that, you know, a team didn't expect, and that, you know, everything, you never know.
Well, I feel like it worked out good for both of you guys, because you obviously had a Hall of Fame career. Zach Martin, same thing, and it's kind of crazy. He's looking back on, like, some of these names, like you just mentioned. Y'all had some dudes in y'all's draft class. We're joined by C.J. Mosley, Alabama legend, future Hall of Famer, like we're talking about right now, former first-round pick, and he's joining us. We're talking some NFL draft, which kicks off tonight. Two of our guys there, hoping to hear their names called, Ty Simpson, Kaden Prater. But, C.J., I want to go back real quick. To what got you there? I mean, you had a very, you know, an illustrious career here at Alabama. It was, you know, started with you being a freshman, getting a lot of early playing time, and you ended up being a guy that, you know, team captain. I mean, you're around the walls there. You talk about one of the best linebackers to come through the program, man. Speak on your time at Alabama, man. I mean, it's how special was that to you, and kind of how did that prepare you for that moment? Like I mentioned, you know, starting as a young guy, that was kind of rare back then. Not many young freshmen played. You're one of the few that did it. Then, you know, working your way up, you even stayed. You could have left early. You ended up staying all 4 years and came back to school when you really could have left as a junior. Kind of what went into all that? And just kind of just talk a little bit about your career at Alabama.
Yeah, well, credit to my parents. You know, they wanted me to graduate, so I made that promise to them. And also, you know, going into my going to the end of my junior year, I was slotted, you know, mid second round, you know, late first round. Maybe not an every down backer. So I had something to prove on the field as well, and in the classroom. So that was the whole reason of me playing all 4 years, to prove that I can be an every down backer and to, you know, have that diploma for myself and my family. But, you know, just being in that culture, just being how old are you when you get to college? You know, 17, 18.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, when I knew I was going to Alabama, you know, getting ready for the summer program, you know, you got the thick booklet. You got that thick summer booklet. You're seeing, like, all the conditioning and things like that. You know, I'm still in high school, you know, getting ready to graduate, you know, last few days of school. And, you know, I found myself, you know, running, you know, the 110 test, you know, because I'm like, man, I'm about to go there and be out of shape, so, you know, let me start doing something. So I can remember like it was yesterday. I'm on the band field, you know, the bus is going home, but, you know, I'm on the field doing my 110, saying pride, discipline, commitment, toughness, effort. And that was my mindset going there. And that first day was the realest. You know, guys were dropping left to right in that first session. You know, guys had nicknames for life after after that test. But no, after that, man, you have to buy into the process. You know, you hear Coach Saban talk about it all the time. It's a big phrase, you know, at Alabama, the process. And that's in the classroom, that's on the field, how you conduct yourself, how we are in life right now. You know, once football is over, you know, all those same pillars, you know, that still means something. You have to go to work, you have to wake up, you have to serve, you have to do the right things. And, you know, that's what Alabama taught me. And, you know, the time before NIL, you know, you really were close with your teammates, and, you know, you rode together, you rode home together, you know, all the things that we did, and just spending that time with, you know, my roommates / teammates, and, you know, just growing with them, and, you know, just having fun as a young college student, and obviously winning a bunch of games and championships. It was a great experience, and it definitely prepared me, along with our coaches, for the next level.
Absolutely, yeah. You definitely were very well prepared, and you can tell how it paid off for you, man. Both really good careers, both in college and in the league, and now where you're at now, you're running your own agency, which is cool stuff. I want to ask you about that in a second, but you mentioned just all those things you talked about, you know, the camaraderie that you have with your brothers in college, the success that you guys had. If you were speaking to these young guys, which I know you've been up here a couple times, and you've been around these players, but a lot of people, you know, they see Alabama now. They see really all these college football programs now, with, you know, whether it's NIL, whatnot. And sometimes people feel like there's just not that same level of just fire, that want. But if you could give a message to, say, this Alabama football team that's done some good stuff, but there's been some moments where we know it just seems like that mentality's not just there all the time, or at least consistency. I mean, any advice that you would give? Because when people, we talk about the good old days here on the show all the time. I mean, we are 95% of our listeners are Alabama fans. They always talk about the C.J. Moseys, the Rolando McClains, Reuben Foster's, guys that were, you know, those signal callers on defense that really set the tone. What kind of message would you give to maybe even some of these young linebackers or these young guys on this football team now about, you know, having that championship level mentality and doing the little things like you mentioned, the discipline, the pride, commitment, all that stuff, the standard of excellence for reaching that success?
Well, I feel like I'll save them a little bit, man. The game's always evolving, you know. So, you know, our days were different than what it is today. That's on the field and off the field for these players. You know, the spotlight's on them every single second. You know, everybody think they have money, and they think they have money when they really don't. They're 1099 employees and student athletes. So I would say the stress level is a lot higher now than when it was when we were playing. It was a lot simpler. You know, you play football, you went to school, that was it, you know? So yeah. I think, you know, the time that these players have together is a lot more valuable now. You know, we don't know with the legislation, you know, with the transfer portal and all this. But, you know, guys leave every single year, you know, every couple of months. So it's hard to, you know, build that relationship. It's hard to build up that, you know, that in-state team and, you know, have guys together 3-4 years and build a dynasty. So when you're at a program like Alabama, you see all the people on the wall, you see the, you know, the legends, you see the history, you know, that should mean something to you. And, you know, when you go to the locker room and you have a jersey number and you have a former player that was in that number and, you know, you see All-American on there, you know, that should make you want to build something for yourself. You know, when I was playing and I chose 32 for my reason, you know, I knew who wore it before me, Eric Anders, and I know what type of ball player he was. I knew his mentality. And for me, I was like, man, I'm not about to disrespect this number because I know what he built in that number. You know, I know what they started. And speaking of starting something, I feel like they're in a cool transition, the same transition that, you know, my years at Alabama was, you know, 2007, 2008, they were trying to find themselves. They were building the program. 2009 came all together, great team, won a championship. You know, I got there in 2010, and, you know, it was those freshman sophomores, those young guys that saw the team grow, and they won one on their own time. They got ready to leave out, and it was our time to start building something. It was our time to, like, keep building that process and hold up to the standard. So the coaching style may change. The way, you know, teams scout and teams play may change and the rules may change, but, you know, it's about how you hold on to that standard. You know, that's what it's all about. When you step on the field, it's a certain way you play. It's a certain way you represent, you know, the past players. It's a certain way you represent your players that you're with now. And that's what it is every time you step on the field in Alabama.
Man, yeah, I love that answer, man. I know our chat loves that. That's fire, man. That was exactly kind of what I was looking to hear, man. And I know I don't want to keep all your time because I know you're busy. I know you got to get back to some stuff. But I do want to ask you this about your post-career endeavors that you're doing right now, because you mentioned it earlier. You talked about some of that NIL stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now you decided to retire. You called it a career after doing some great stuff in the National Football League. We all know making that transition is not easy. I know you got your hands in some other stuff, but you ultimately just decided recently to announce you started your own agency where you represent these guys. And a lot of the wisdom that you're dropping right here on the show, you're able to pour that into all the guys that you're working with. Talk about that decision to decide to start your own agency and how you're maybe using that platform and that business to pour into some of these younger guys that are trying to, you know, reach the heights that you were able to reach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The name of the agency is called Legacy Trust Sports Group.
Yep.
I was looking for my hat before. I would show you, but I couldn't find it. But yeah, man, you talk about the transition. You know, I've been playing football all my life, obviously. You know, I had one blip with, you know, COVID that I opted out. But outside of that, you know, football is year-round for me. And as of this year, it's been the first year that, you know, I've been retired. So you always hear players and former athletes talk about the transition and what it's like and, you know, how it can be lonely. You have to find yourself something to do. You miss your teammates. So with this agency, you know, I check all those boxes off. You know, as a former football player, as an athlete, I can still be a mentor. I can still be that leader. I can still be that captain. Like you said, I can, you know, talk to these players, watch film, you know, just talk life and ball. So I check the boxes off with that. When it comes to the NIL space and just being around these young kids and, you know, now they're getting recruited out of high school as far as, you know, with the agencies and representation, I'm just showing a sign of, you know, legitimacy. You know, I walked in their shoes. I can speak their language. You know, there's no 1-800 number you have to call to have questions answered, or if there's something in need, you know, we can be there for you. So, you know, we put together a great team here that can, you know, handle, you know, the NIL space, handle the transfer portal. We pretty much have the GM on our side that does all the scouting from high school through college. And like you said, you know, got the draft tonight. So just, you know, the first year for our NFL draft. And, you know, we have two guys that, you know, potentially could be, you know, late round guys and some high priority free agency. So first year, about 8 months in, and, you know, we're cooking right now. So just excited to, you know, see these guys grow. And for me, you know, it's cool to, you know, turn on the TV on Saturday and flip this, you know, 7 channels and be like, hey, I represent that guy. Or, you know, I'm like, man, this is cool. It's really cool just still be in touch with football, but more so just give back my time.
I love it, man. No, and I'm happy for you. I'm glad it's going well. I know you're excited for tonight. Like you mentioned, you got the NFL draft coming up. You got a few guys that you're hoping you guys can have their names called. And, of course, you still represent a number of college guys. You mentioned it, Legacy Trust Sports Group, for all of our listeners. If you guys are interested in checking it out, if you have some young athletes, I know we've got some parents on here. We actually have a lot of parents of a lot of players that listen to the show. You guys can always check them out, Legacy Trust Sports Group. CJ, any way that y'all prefer, like contact, if someone does, like y'all's website, you want to drop that, any contact information?
Yep, website and Instagram, same exact name, so very easy to look up. LegacyTrustSportsGroup.com, and the IG handle is the same. We also have the Twitter account as well. Oh, sorry, we have an X account, Legacy Trust Sports Group. So, yeah, just type it in and just look it up, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds good, man. Well, definitely, we'll have to do this again. Like I said, I wish I could get more time. I got plenty of questions I'll ask you, but I know we're on a time crunch. But I'll definitely get you back on here if you got some time to join us. But I appreciate you coming on here. First time on here. Hopefully not the last. We'll have to do it again. But hope you guys have a great draft night or whole draft weekend with your guys. And hopefully we can catch up soon, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
Good deal. Alabama legend CJ Mosley here on the show. We appreciate him joining us. Legacy Sports Trust Group, right? Legacy Trust Sports Group. Excuse me. You can check them out, like he said. We got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9111.
On sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Here, treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Proud
part. Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Thursday NFL Draft Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to CJ Mosley, who just joined us here on the show. Again, he's like a brother to me, man, definitely like family, but we hadn't had him on the show yet, and he joined us for the first time, and a great day to do it, right? NFL Draft Day, really exciting day for him. Not only does he get to relive those memories of his time at the NFL Draft, like he just gave us the rundown, which is really cool to hear his experience, but also now that he is the founder and I guess, what do you call it, like CEO or the head man, I should say, of Legacy Trust Sports Group, his own agency, right? So he's got some guys that are in this draft and, of course, representing some college talent as well. So best of luck to all his guys tonight, tomorrow, and over the weekend that hope to hear their names called. And, of course, we wish them nothing but success in the future. And hopefully we'll get CJ back on here, and like you mentioned, man, maybe even getting some of his guys on here, giving them a platform, and we can do some more interviews, talk some football, and keep the platform growing like that. Really cool stuff. So that said, we're going to have to hit a quick timeout here because we got the top of the hour break we're running up against. When we come back, we'll have Mr. Adam Lamparello joining the show. We'll continue talking some NFL draft. We'll circle back to the whole contract conversation because I know a lot of people want to talk about that. Plus, we've got Michael on the phone lines. We'll keep getting to you guys, 205-342-9904. Next hour, we're definitely going to talk a lot of NFL draft, a lot about Kalen DeBoer's new contract extension and more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
in the NBA playoffs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropped 37 points as the Thunder defeated the Suns 120-107. The Pistons even the series against the Magic, coming out on top in Game 2, 98-83. At the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Ducks beat the Oilers 6-4 in Game 2 to even their series at 1 apiece. The Stars outscored the Wild in double overtime 4-3. Dallas now leads that series 2-1. And the Flyers beat the Penguins 5-2. Philadelphia leads that series 3-0. In the NFL, ESPN reports that Mike Vrabel will not be with the Patriots on Saturday for the third day of the NFL draft as he seeks counseling. In baseball, the Mets snapped their 12-game losing streak with a 3-2 win over the Twins. Yankees have won 5 in a row after topping the Red Sox 4-1. Giants shut out the Dodgers 3-0. Cubs have won 8 in a row. They beat the Phillies 7-2.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller. It's time
time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Thursday NFL Draft edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well and ready for hour number two, man. Really fun hour number one. We got to talk with C.J. Mosley, Alabama legend, future Hall of Famer in the National Football League, now owner and founder of Legacy Trust Sports Group. We got to talk about, take a trip down memory lane, talk about his NFL draft experience, then talk about his agency, right, where he's representing athletes, has some guys hoping to hear their names called this weekend. So that was really cool. And, of course, like we do every Thursday, we got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adam Lamparello himself here on the show. We're going to talk some NFL draft. And, of course, we get some other things we'll dive into with you, Adam, which, again, very fitting, man, because some contract talk. I mean, there's always some, you know, legal language in there. And I feel like you kind of had the hunch we'd probably be talking a little bit about this. So
yep.
Looking forward to diving into that. Without further ado, Adam, how are you, man?
All right. It's great to be here. How are you doing?
Great, man. Another day, another dollar. We're making it and we're talking some football. We got the NFL draft, which is always fun. I'm one of those people that I'm always super excited about the draft. I get about midway through the first round and I kind of start getting on my phone. I just kind of got to play in the background. But it's just exciting kind of seeing where these guys could end up or ultimately go. And, you know, I just think back of kind of my experience, like CJ was talking about. I mean, you just really don't know. It's one of those things where it's out of your control. Recruiting is you're picking the place you want to go. The NFL draft, they're picking where you're going to go. So as an athlete, it's always been very very interesting, but just knowing when you do get that call, man, like it's like you're flooded with emotion and then it's like this sense of relief.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really, really cool deal, man. So we'll definitely talk some NFL draft because I want to get your thoughts on our guys in the draft. There's been a number of things that we haven't even got to yet. So I'm excited to have you on here to do it with Adam. But first and foremost, I think we got to dive into this contract discussion. And I want to get your opinion on this, both as an Alabama fan, but also the lawyer that you are. I know you have a lot of knowledge when it comes to contracts and things like this, reading over that type of language. So here we go, guys. Let's dive back into this hot topic of the day. Alabama head coach Adam, as you've seen, has been extended. I think it's a 7-year extension, a bump of about $2 million annually. $12.5 million is what the boss man will now be paid annually. There is a number of other assistants. I'd say probably about 3/4 of the staff also got some extensions, but we're going to focus on the big one. Adam, just overall, I guess, what was your reaction when you heard the news of head coach Kalen DeBoer getting that extension yesterday?
This is a huge strategic win for Alabama, and don't let the extension itself fool you, because what Alabama got out of this was stability and control and also flexibility, and here's why. On its face, you may think 12.5, another 7 years, perhaps it's a bit premature, even though Coach DeBoer has done some good things. There's room for improvement. Here's the catch, the buyout. The buyout is less than a year's worth of Coach DeBoer's salary, and it only increases by $2 million every 2 years. So this isn't a Jimbo Fisher type of buyout, or a Brian Kelly type of buyout. So what that means is, yeah, they gave him 7 years, but if they want to part ways with him 2 years, even 4 years down the road, it's not going to cost them much. It's going to cost them less than a year's salary. So in a way, both sides, probably Jimmy Sexton, of course, got what they wanted. They got some stability, but ultimately Alabama is in control here because they don't have to worry about Coach DeBoer being entertained by another Michigan, but they still have that flexibility to say it's not working out if it doesn't work out. And that means that this is a strategic win for Alabama. But I think the larger question, which is going to be answered in the next couple of years, it's not whether Coach DeBoer is a great coach. I think that's a given. It's whether the personality and culture is the right fit for Alabama. And I saw Ty Simpson just maybe a week or so ago talking about the difference between Coach DeBoer and Coach Saban. And the answer was Coach DeBoer is a player's coach. And Coach DeBoer values the opinions of his players. You know, Coach Saban, from what he says, was more of a top-down, you know, what I say goes type of personality. Will Coach DeBoer's personality work and will the culture work at Alabama? I'm not so sure, but I'm willing to wait and see with an open mind. But I think where Alabama stands right now is in a good position.
And you mentioned stability, and I think that's one of the big pieces here. You're right, right? I mean, when you're talking about college football, in today's society, we're seeing a lot of turnover with players, coaches getting hired off by other universities, something that was on the table just last football season with Michigan and Penn State coming after head coach Kalen DeBoer. So you combine that with leverage. I think that's probably the big word that's been being used right now, which makes total sense from an agent standpoint, from Jimmy Sexton, or even, you know, head coach Kalen DeBoer's standpoint. Is evident there's leverage here, right? I mean, you've got schools trying to hire the guy off. If you want stability, if you want to be able to lock somebody down and feel a bit more secure in keeping him here, I think it kind of was something that you had to do, right? But like you mentioned, there's no denying that some people are going to feel like, is this a little premature, just given we're only, you know, 2 years into his tenure here. And I'm not going to deny that. I mean, because listen, if there is no such thing as leverage or any of this other stability, right, we all know that you would just let the contract continue to play that we already had. But that's just not how this thing works, right? There's a market. It's always being reset. Other coaches are being paid more. And literally the guy who is representing him represents literally probably 90% of college football. So when he gets one of his guys and one of his clients a deal, his other clients are then scheduled to probably start getting some deals. And he's probably got the best position out of anybody. Forget being a coach. I think being Jimmy Sexton is probably the best role that you could probably have. Would you agree at this point, Adam?
Yes, he reminds me of Jerry Maguire, or shall I say Jerry Maguire reminds me of Jimmy Sexton. But I think what Alabama wants to avoid is, number one, they want to avoid instability. Other universities coming like Michigan and poaching their coach, but they also don't want to feel stuck with a coach if that coach doesn't work out. That's the dilemma LSU had when there was a $54 million buyout for Brian Kelly. Here, Alabama gets the best of both worlds. They don't have to worry about another Michigan because DeBoer is under contract. But if they want to part ways, it's a cheap buyout. Only $10 million, less than a year of his salary. Alabama wins, even though at face value, it may not seem that way initially.
The only question I have, Adam, is, it depends, though, however they go about it. Am I understanding that right? Because from what I was reading, and maybe I'm understanding this wrong, but the way I read it was, if Alabama decides to terminate him, they would owe him like 90% of the contract. And then if another school happened to hire him, that would end up being I don't remember the exact amount, but is that typically how that normally works? So, I mean, if they didn't have a reason, it would look a little bit different, maybe? You'd owe him like 90%?
Yeah, if they just out and out just fired him with no cause whatsoever, sure. And that may seem like, oh, so therefore he's guaranteed 90% of his contract. But the lawyers are very clever. They will find a way to negotiate where they will pay the buyout. So you can read the terms of the contract and it may seem like, hey, they fire him without cause, he gets 90% of everything he was promised. Yeah, well, they're not going to do that. They're going to phrase it in a way, and they're going to negotiate it in a way where it's just the buyout. And think what you want about lawyers, but I'm sure Alabama has some good ones. So it's a win.
No, I definitely think so. And I agree. Because I think Brian Kelly ended up having his negotiated down some.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, I think initially it was supposed to be even greater of a sum. but it was then negotiated down to maybe the $50 million range. And this is the way I read it, Adam. If they didn't do an extension at the end of this year, and I hate sounding like we're just talking about, oh, if they wanted to terminate him. We're not talking about this because we're saying, oh, we want that. No. I think that's just important to discuss, because if you do, in fact, decide you want to go another way, that's one of the biggest things when you talk about these big contracts, right? So it's just because like you're talking about the difference of being kind of stuck in a situation or really setting yourself back, or like you said, kind of protecting yourself and trying to, you know, put your interests forward first. But the way I read it was $60 million was like the buyout of they terminated him without cause at the end of the year prior to the extension. With the new extension, even though, like you said, on paper or on the surface, it sounds like you're 7 years, 12.5 annually, the buyout with termination, whatever the term would be, whatever, they're terminating them without cause, they only went up like $7.5 million, even though they did this big extension. But like you mentioned, you then have more security in terms of protecting your head coach from being hired off from other schools, which to me, I think that's a pretty fair trade-off. I mean, the buyout with, you know, termination with no cause is already pretty high. I mean, at that point, with $7.5 million, you just mentioned it, there's always ways to negotiate things. But now, if another school wants to hire him off, doubling that gives you more security and stability. And I think it makes perfect sense. And then take it a step further, you just look at, you know, the recruiting classes that they're building. You got Cordy Morgan doing a nice job as a GM. You don't want to risk having a situation, Adam, in my opinion, where say somebody did hire him off and now you're scrambling, you're trying to, you know, retain as many recruits as possible. You're trying to find a replacement. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I know some people make it seem like, oh man, who are we going to get? I wouldn't just make it seem like this is the University of Alabama. Like, you could find yourself a pretty good football coach. That said, it wouldn't be necessarily easy. I'm not saying they're just somebody I magically think that you just go and get and they're just going to be this perfect person that could do just a whole heck of a lot better than what he's done. Even though I think there's a couple coaches that I think would definitely do good here, but a lot of them are locked up and it wouldn't be easy to go get them. So I think at the end of the day, it makes sense. And I think when you look at it from a strategic perspective and not so much, well, through 2 years, I mean, well, we had this game and we just got blown out by Indiana. I hear what you're saying, but like you mentioned, he's a really good football coach. They're doing some good things in terms of kind of the whole picture, right, with the organization trying to establish something. And I just personally think it's something you kind of had to do.
Yeah, and I kind of have a prediction of it. First, like I said, Alabama's never going to put themselves in a hole and fire him without cause. What they'll do is they will claim that whatever parting of the ways, if it's not mutual, was with cause. And as a practical matter, they're going to essentially, if it didn't go good for Coach DeBoer, they would say, what are you going to do, sue us in court and be held up in litigation for 4 or 5 years and spend hundreds of thousands in attorney's fees? They know that that's not what's going to happen. So they know that small buyout is a strong negotiating tool. So they have the flexibility, but they also aren't going to be stuck. But my prediction, and this is a bold prediction, people in the chat are probably going to think I'm crazy, is that there will be a mutual parting of the ways, that Coach DeBoer will do a very good job at Alabama. But there'll be a mutual parting of the ways in perhaps 3, maybe 4 years. And I predict that Kalen DeBoer will eventually become the next coach of Ohio State. And
oh, wow.
That the next coach of the University of Alabama, whether it's 4 years, 5 years, will be none other than Kirby Smart.
Wait, whoa, we're due for a timeout. So I'm going to leave that as a cliffhanger right there, because I know we're going to have a lot of reactions to that. That's quite the prediction. But I'm just going to tell you, Adam, I mean, you know, like you said, you're talking like 4 years down the road and you're saying like a mutual thing. I don't necessarily think that's like out of this world, right? I mean, because let's just think about it. I know a lot of coaches want stability, want to stay at a program for as long as possible. But let's just be completely honest here. I mean, you typically see guys kind of on the move. Now, granted, it's a little bit different when you're at a program like Alabama, Ohio State, a little bit less likely to happen. But I wouldn't say it's like too far out there, but it is something to kind of to make you think about. But if you're saying Ohio State, I got to ask you to come back. What about Ryan Day? Where does Ryan Day end up at? We got to talk about this. We'll do that when we come back. We'll keep talking about this, of course. And we got the NFL draft we'll dive into with our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. They got the new website up. I got it on the stream. I'll pull it back up here in a second. Lamparello-law.com gets you all that information. Beautiful new website that just dropped. Make sure you guys go check it out. They've got a Meet Adam tab, services tab to show exactly what they do. And he even said it. They even got pricing on there. They're transparent. They show you exactly what they do, how they'll do it, and how they can beat any of those prices out there. So make sure you guys check them out at Lamparello-Law Education and Advocacy. Quick timeout. We come back. We respond to Adam's hot take.
Powered by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, partially sunny with a high at 84. Tonight, mostly fair with a low at 60. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, a chance of showers by afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow night. The high tomorrow, 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
WTVC. We're joined by our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, who joins us on Thursdays. But don't forget to check out their brand new website again. Let me throw it back on the screen. And boom, there it is, Lamparello-law.com, Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. You see everything, the contact information, 201-317-5115, of course, to call Adam. But really, just head on to this website. They got the number there, the email there, and of course, a boatload of other new information uploaded here about everything they do, from the representation on the legal side of things all the way to the academic and career planning, test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, all that good stuff. So please check out the website, man. It's been in the works for a while, and it looks great, man. Turnout phenomenal. So I want you guys to check that out and definitely consider working with Mr. Adam himself, just like we do here on the show, man. I'm telling you, it feels, you walk around a little bit different when you got yourself a good old lawyer in your back pocket, like Mr. Lamparello.
All right.
Of course, man. Thank you. All right. We're talking about head coach Kalen DeBoer. He's got that extension that was agreed upon yesterday. I'm assuming it's already now signed and everything is all good to go. Adam threw out a hot take before we went to a break a second ago. So we were talking about it here on the stream, kind of just, you know, breaking it down. And to Adam's point, you know, I was talking about, you know, when Michigan was, you know, trying to hire Coach DeBoer, I didn't really see that really kind of meshing, right? But when you threw out the name Ohio State, I'm like, okay, I can see that a little bit more. You're talking about really good wide receiver play. Right? You're talking about they throw the football a lot more than maybe a Michigan football team that's known, which they'll probably throw a little bit more now they got Bryce Underwood, but they're a big ground and pound team. So I can see where you're going with that. Then the part where you mentioned, you know, maybe 4 years down the road, with us having a standard as high as it is here, right? Let's just be honest. If you don't win a national championship, let me ask you this, Adam, because this is where I'm going with it. I think whoever's here, I mean, there's probably a window where people are expecting some type of national championship, right? Like, I can see a world where throughout the next 4 years, we win an SEC championship. We're in the playoffs. But if there's still not a national championship won, inevitably there's probably going to be a little pressure on whoever is at the helm here at the University of Alabama. Again, that's nothing against Coach DeBoer. That's whoever would be here. I think there is a window of expectation where people want you at least in a national championship game, which yeah. Coach DeBoer has done. He's one of the few coaches in college football that has, in fact, made it to the national championship game. Speaking of Michigan, he did, you know, suffer a loss in that game to them, but he has at least made it in the past few years. So from that front, like what you said initially, probably to people's ears sounded like a crazy hot take. But the more you kind of, you know, diagnose it and pick it apart, you're like, hey, maybe in 4 years, maybe again, he does some really good stuff here. But if you don't win a national championship, you just never know. Maybe they might try to just look another way. Again, I don't know if that happens. Just respond to what Adam said and definitely kind of got the conversation driven. 205-342-9904. Adam, anything you want to add to that real quick before I try to take a quick call?
I think Michigan made a big mistake in going after DeBoer because DeBoer was never going to leave after 2 years. He wants to make sure he shows he can be successful at Alabama before they part ways. I think he will do well, win an SEC championship, but I think there'll come a time where he moves on to his next position. I think he will be the next Buckeye, and I stand by my prediction. Kirby will leave Athens for Tuscaloosa.
Well, to your point there, if I had to pick anybody to ever become the next head coach at Alabama, of course, I hope Coach DeBoer is here crushing it and doing all that stuff, winning championships. But if we ever had to find a replacement for whatever reason, he would always be number one on my list, given the familiarity. I mean, he kind of climbed the ranks here in Tuscaloosa, serving as defensive coordinator. I mean, it would kind of feel like, you know, I'm a big Breaking Bad fan. You bring Kirby here, it's kind of like the spinoff Better Call Saul. Yeah, it's kind of the same. It's got the same DNA with a little bit different of a show, but it's the same DNA in some degree. I would not be complaining about it. 205-342-9904. Hey, real quick, let me ask Reed behind the glass. Reed, who would be first? I know Michael said he was going to call back. If Michael didn't get back on there, do we have Cotton on there?
Yeah, Cotton should be on here.
Right, let's go with Cotton, man. Cotton, welcome in.
What's up, Christian?
What's up, man? Is this way off size, Cotton?
Yeah.
There we go.
It's good to talk to you. I don't know how I'm supposed to follow up a Kirby Smart to Bama hot take, man.
Listen, that Adam dropped one on us for sure, man. But great conversation starter for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I'm going to say if that day comes, Jeremy Pruitt's the guy. That's just my opinion.
You're saying as a DC, you're saying basically kind of do like a circle the gang back together type deal and kind of get all the figures from the past and put them on the staff again?
That's what fans want, right? Everybody wants days of old. On these contract extensions, man, Adam kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. What I was going to say, I agree with it regarding kind of stability, strategic stability on both sides. And I like that Adam recognized that. I just wanted to point out that it's a great take because Cotton was going to say it. So Adam's got to be right. But no, yeah, I thought the way they handled that That's pretty cool. I wanted to get your take on, there's a lot of comments on social media just about Freddie Roach making 1.3. I know they didn't bump him or anything like that, but a lot of Alabama fans feel like Freddie Roach is overpaid and maybe not producing. I know you talked about a little bit about that yesterday, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, so here's what I'll say. So he does have the title associate head coach as well. And that was one thing that I know they did when they retained him. So this is what you got to understand about that, which I understand when you see a defensive line coach and they're making more than some coordinate, not some, but a number of coordinators. It kind of raises eyebrows. But I think you got to look at the situation, right? You had Coach Saban retire. It was him and Robert Gillespie, two guys that were held over and retained from that staff. I'm just telling you from firsthand knowledge that him and a couple other guys were like the nucleus of helping keep a lot of this stuff together when Coach Saban retired. If Freddie Roach wasn't around, I'm just telling you right now, it would have been probably a massacre. You know what I'm saying? So what they wanted to do is they wanted to reward a guy like that was that helpful. And it wasn't just him. I mean, you're talking about guys from Jamie Mosley, you know, Denzel Duvall, Josh Chapman, like those guys that have that DNA, right, that Alabama DNA, like that was critical. And I'm not sitting here saying like that's the only reason they kept him. No. But I think when you look at how much he's getting paid, they wanted to, you know, compensate somebody who played a big role in kind of keeping things together. So that's in the equation. Like, I don't think you would expect a guy like a defensive line coach to be making that if they just went out and hired him. That's why you don't see, you know, Clem or Derek Nix or any of those guys having nearly the salary, right? Because it's a totally different circumstance. So that would be my point to that. You just got to view it from that lens, and it makes a little bit more sense there. But like I said yesterday, man, like, could we sit here and say, like, the defense line development hadn't really looked exactly how it looked maybe 10 years ago when we were talking about all the running off the list of names? I'm not going to deny that, but I still stand firm when I say this. I believe Alabama has not recruited as well in the trenches in the past few years as we did back when I was coming out, or even the few years prior to that. I firmly believe that. Could the development be a little bit better? Sure. Are there some things I think we could do a little bit better? Absolutely. But I just don't always think it's a fair comparison when you're talking about Bo Davis, whose defensive line group consisted of Jonathan Allen, Jaron Reed, Deron Payne, all these names I could keep going down the list. First round guys that are going a decade in the league, all pros. And then you're comparing it to, and this is no disrespect when I say this, but you know, like Tim Keenan, really good football player. I love Tim, man, an even better person. But if you're trying to match Tim to Deron Payne, or, you know, Justin Aboigbe to Jonathan Allen, you get what I'm saying, Cotton? I mean, I don't think that's all on the coach and his lack of development. I think even if it's 50-50, 60-40, I don't know what the split is, but I truly believe Freddie Roach hasn't always had that same level of talent to work with. And that's just my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong. I do think there's some things we could do a little bit better, too. So I want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to play the hand you're dealt. So, but you're also only as good as the hand you're dealt. So I can see what you're saying. Now, last thing, I felt like with these extensions, kind of seeing Ryan Grubb stay stagnant, you know, you didn't see any movement there. Do you feel like that gives Kalen DeBoer a cushion and kind of puts Ryan Grubb on the, you know, kind of puts him on notice going into the season? If maybe Alabama's run game doesn't improve, the offense total doesn't improve, it's kind of a given without getting an extension, without getting more money, that Ryan Grubb's likely he's out the door.
Yeah, and I don't, that's a great question. I don't know if it's like a, you know, a guarantee that it's like, hey, if he doesn't do well, he's automatically out of here. But I do think it's a pretty strong indication that it's a, hey, this is a little bit of a prove it year for him. If not, he would have seen his name with the list of all the other guys, including the special teams coach, right? Because we're talking about offensive coordinator. I mean, that's a big role here we're talking about. And if he's not being extended, I think that's about as clear as day that it is a prove it thing. And I got this stat here pulled up. I know Dan Orlovsky posted this, trying to kind of, you know, help push his point about Ty Simpson, the quarterback that he is and the job that he did given the circumstances. But I mean, these were our offensive statistics from last year, which people are kind of excluding Coach DeBoer from this. They're kind of using it to say like, oh, the fact that he dragged the team to the playoffs with that. But the problem is he's also the head coach and an offensive minded guy at that. So he kind of plays a role. But sacks allowed, we allowed 32. That was tied for 110th. Yards per rush by the running backs, 3.98. That was 128th nationally. And then drops by receivers, 32, tied for 130th. So, I mean, given all that, I mean, I think it makes sense why there's a little bit more pressure on the offensive coordinator when we're talking about the truth about how they performed, even though it wasn't all bad. There were some good, especially earlier on. But to your point, yeah, I do feel like it is a clear indication. There's a little bit of pressure on, I don't even know if I say a little bit, probably a good bit of pressure on him that, hey, you need to put up or shut up, right? Or you got to produce this year. If not, his contract expires, and I would imagine there's a good chance that they're looking to go a different direction.
Yeah, I agree with you. Christian, man, you guys are doing amazing work, dude.
Thank you so much. But you guys, too, man, tell everybody before we let you go, man, tell the folks how they can catch up with everything you guys are doing Way Off Sides.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, man, y'all can find us Way Off Sides on YouTube. That's Way with four A's. Three's not enough, five's too many, four, just like in the word Alabama. Make sure you're tapped in here with Miller's Edge. Christian knows what's up. These guys doing amazing work, so.
Thank you so much, man. Glad you figured out the phone line thing, too, man. Hey, you're welcome anytime, man. Give us a call, man. We'd love to have you on here.
I appreciate it. I was watching yesterday, and I was like, wait, it's a call-in show? What am I doing? Why do I need to call and talk?
Yeah, man. Anytime, man. We're a little slow sometimes to get to them, but, hey, man, we always welcome the calls. But, man, good to hear from you, brother, and we'll hopefully chat soon, man.
Yeah, brother, we'll talk to you later. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, man. Good deal. All right. Me and Adam are going to hit the timeout real quick. When we come back, we'll keep discussing all this, and we'll keep hearing from you guys. The chat is very active, whether it's about the contract extension or Adam's hot take of the day. So we'll discuss both when we come back right here at the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Joint pain and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Single, family, and corporate memberships available. Located at 14931 Seed Town Road in Foster's, Alabama.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless.
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
From Tuscaloosa to the world.
Download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
weekend of this Thursday NFL Draft Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's take a quick phone call real quick as we wrap up here. Mr. Lamparello, again, of Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Brand new website officially launched. Make sure you guys go check it out, lamparello-law.com. All the information right there in terms of their services. You can hear and read more about Mr. Adam himself, which you hear from him every Thursday here on the show. I think you guys got a good gauge for him. But, of course, if you need more information, check out that website. It's got the phone number, his email, all that stuff, and allows you to schedule consultation for any questions that you guys might have. Again, that is Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. We got Digger on the phone line. So, old brother, let me buckle up for this, Adam. Yeah, let's get ready for this one. Mr. Digger, welcome in, sir.
Yes, sir. Buckle up.
Adam, okay, here we go.
We're going to play devil's advocate here. Why would Kirby Smart leave his alma mater for Alabama? And number two, keep this in mind, Atlanta has passed Dallas as far as a ranking for blue chippers throughout the country. It's pretty much 1A, 1B. Okay, you're getting more five stars out of Atlanta and Dallas, more All-Americans out of Atlanta and Dallas, and more pro football players out of the state of Texas and Georgia. Why, in anybody's right mind, would leave Georgia after winning the SEC twice, then go to Alabama? Okay.
Well, he said 4 years down the road. We're hypothetically speaking.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
Explain away here. This is going to be interesting.
All right, Digger, I appreciate the question. So, first, I think that Kirby Smart has the type of personality where, you know, he likes a new challenge. He likes a new mountain to climb. And I think he's had his success at Georgia. And I think Georgia has had some increasing struggles in the last couple of years. The second thing is, where Kirby goes, Kirby will bring those five-star recruits. People want to play for him. The third thing is, Alabama, in my opinion, is the best job in the country. And what better way for him to cap his coaching career than winning a national title at Alabama as the former assistant who won two at Georgia? It is, I think, a great fit for his personality and a great challenge that would be the most amazing cap to his career. And maybe, just maybe, put him in the same conversation with Coach Saban. I don't know.
Dang.
Are you, look, Christian, are you sure Alabama's the best job in the country? You do a survey with all of the coaches, Alabama's nowhere near that. It's maybe top 20. Maybe.
Okay. That's way too low. Way too low. But let me just answer real quick, Dick. I'll say this. Do I believe it's the best job in the country? I think it depends on what you value and maybe what metric you're going off of. If you're saying from a logistics standpoint, are there other universities that will offer you more money in NIL, other universities that, if you're saying, like you mentioned, geographically, recruiting wise, again, you can recruit really, really well at Alabama. We all know that, but you're basing that off the brand. But if you're saying you're in a hotbed and location might help you out, I'm sure you could definitely, you mentioned a couple other universities. So, yeah, it's hard for me to say definitively Alabama is the best head coaching job in the country when you're looking at all of those things. But for me, and I'm taking my bias out of, you know, just playing here. If you're talking about a historic university that has had Bear Bryant, then Nick Saban, and of course you don't want to follow either of those guys up. But at some point, Alabama comes knocking and you know that brand that's still there and you want to have a chance at cementing yourself as the next great coach to walk through those halls at Alabama. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. If you go win multiple championships at Alabama, I just feel like that nationally, this is just the way I'm thinking about it. If you go do that at Oregon, like, wow, he won two national championships at Oregon. And I know it seems more difficult because it's Oregon. But in my opinion, if you go around and on your resume, it's like, hey, he was a multi-time national championship winning coach at Alabama. People just are going to think of you alongside of Bear Bryant and Nick Saban as well. I know you had, what's his name, that only won one. It's a little bit different, but I don't know. I see Adam's point. What? That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. This is my opinion.
I know. Look, just let it be known. You can look it up. They already did a survey on it, and all of the coaches selected University of Texas as the best coaching job.
Oh, my God. I should have known there. No, come on. You know as good as anybody. I don't get too deep into the fandom part where I can't entertain stuff like that. No, I'm saying, of course, that was going to be. There's a reason you brought this up. Now, you said who did this survey or study? Where did this come from?
It's a survey. It's been done. It's done every year. Number one coaching job in the country is the University of Texas. Hotbed of recruiting. You get resources. Your money, you got your NIL, okay? Now, look, I'll be honest with you. Track record ain't that good. We've only won four, okay? But where else are you going to find that? Maybe Ohio State and Alabama, okay? Maybe, okay? But Ohio State's got the whole state of Ohio, okay? Alabama, just pretty much the whole state of Alabama. And, yeah, you can poach Mississippi if you like. And a little bit of Georgia. But if Louisiana. You're not careful, you're going to fall through the wayside like Tennessee. Okay? If you're not careful, that's what I'm saying. You're going to fall into a 20-year drought, and you're going to be pulling your hair out. So I'm just safe. Now, real quick, man. I'm going to end the phone call on this, okay? And I'm just curious about this. C.J. Mosley, come on. Hall of Famer? Really? Really?
Yeah,
he's been 100%. An All-Pro five times, okay? Never on the first team. He's got 12 sacks. Okay, I do see that he's got 1,000 tackles over 10 years. Okay.
He's a middle linebacker, a Mike linebacker, dude. He didn't play outside backer. He went rushing off the edge, 12 sacks. I mean, listen, he also had 12 interceptions. Dude, no, come on. You're tripping. Five times. The way you just said five-time All-Pro just because it's second team. But you know how hard it is to make an All-Pro? Not only that, dude. Come on, man. You lost me on that one, man.
One thing. You have to ask your question. You have to ask yourself, can you discuss the folklore of NFL with premier players? And I'm telling you, C.J. Mosley is getting glossed over. There are better linebackers out there during his decade. I promise you that.
Well, wait. So you're saying two different things. Listen, the dude without a doubt is a Hall of Fame linebacker. I mean, I'm telling you for a fact. Now, if you want to argue that you could name a couple other linebackers that you think maybe have a little bit more on their resume, I mean, everybody's – if you stack anybody up to anybody, there's always somebody better. That's an outside backer, Digger. What did they – listen, he's a middle linebacker, He's a middle linebacker. Listen, he is a Hall of Famer, not even a question about it. And beyond that, what he did from college here, I mean, you're talking about a Butkus Award winner, a guy that was literally arguably the best linebacker to play here during the dynasty at Alabama. I mean, come on, Digger. I can let you joke around about – The head coach and job, what's the best? But you sound crazy, man. Come on, man. Have you not seen this guy's resume?
Am I lying when I say this? It's kind of like I told you about the Alabama baseball game the other day.
You lied
you
about
look
that.
It up, the last time Alabama beat Texas was 1904. You thought I was lying about this.
No, allegedly, we beat you earlier this year, so that was wrong.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Somebody mentioned that in the chat. I don't know, Digger. I don't know.
Oh
man.
My but God!
Listen, I always love your conversations. Our listeners, they have to literally like they cringe a little bit, but I love it. I love having somebody that actually they go against the grain from time to time. So we appreciate you, Digger. We don't see eye to eye, but of course, I appreciate you. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, man. That's what it's about. Somebody said this guy's an idiot. He's entertaining though, and that's why we appreciate him. Adam, man, before we let you run here, man, please tell the folks, man, how they can keep up with the good work that you got going. Of course, you got the new website, lamprello-law.com. I know somebody asked in the chat, do you do disability cases here in Alabama? Is that something that you could maybe help them out with?
Yeah,
Yes, I'm not licensed to do disability cases in Alabama, but I can get admitted to practice such cases on motion. So feel free to contact me. And look, it's affordable legal representation in a variety of areas, including criminal defense, Title IX, litigation, and of course, for students, educational assistance with applications, exam preparation. So give us a call. We'd be happy to help you out.
Man, we appreciate you so much, Adam. Every Thursday, you can catch him here on the Miller's Edge. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Adam, have a great rest of your day, man. We'll see you next week, brother.
You too. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Always. Yes, sir. Thank you, man. Our guy, Adam, man, always love having him on here. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap up this Thursday NFL Draft Edition. Plus, we'll go ahead and give our predictions for tonight. Me and Reed will talk a little bit about this first round, man. Is Ty Simpson going to hear his name called? Caden Proctor, we'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to go live to Pittsburgh multiple times as we'll cover the NFL draft. We're going to talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, as we'll set the stage for Elijah Haven. Talking Alabama football recruiting and a lot more. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Get your life back, baby. Stephen Mesrino, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Free Vehicle Act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Upside app and use promo code EZ25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first fill up. That's EZ25.
Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Quick to this Thursday NFL Draft Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got just a couple more minutes, so Reed, we got to designate a little bit of time to this NFL Draft, which is tonight. The first round is tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. But I got to ask, we've been talking about it with our folks here on the stream. Reed, how many guys does Alabama have taken in the first round of the 2026 NFL Draft? You got two in Pittsburgh. Doesn't mean you can't have another, but I just don't think we have anybody, you know, graded at that mark. Do you think we have two guys, in fact, have their name called tonight, Reed? Or you think there's a chance we only have one or none, technically? You never know.
Well, I did my mock draft late last night, right around 9, 10 p.m., and I have two Alabama players going in the first round. I have Caden Proctor actually going before Ty Simpson. I think the 49ers are going to try to grab him because he's such like a raw talent, and his size is just – really unmeasurable, if we're being honest here. And so I think if he sits behind a guy like Trent Williams, I've been saying it for a while, and I know a lot of people have, I think
if he could develop into the guy to take over for him once Trent Williams calls it a career, I think that'd be a huge grab for the 49ers. And then I think the Cardinals do get him, but I think they trade up with the Patriots with the, I believe it's 31st pick in the NFL draft, just because I think they want to have that fifth-year option with those first-round players to potentially, if Ty Simpson is their guy, that they can have that fifth-year option that they can rely on.
So you said 31st for Ty. You said trading up or trading back?
The Cardinals would trade up. So they trade their second-round pick up to get,
Ty
him at 31.
A lot of people seem to be linking the two. There's, there feels like there's, it seems to be there's like a strong sense that Ty Simpson could be an Arizona Cardinal at some point tonight. So we'll have to see. I'll be honest with you. I think you end up hearing two Alabama guys called tonight, just given that offensive line. You know how hard it is to find good offensive linemen. I do believe there definitely is a chance that Caden Proctor is not as high as a pick that some people might believe. Just because when you watch the tape, and then even Coach Saban kind of coming out and saying, hey, man, when you got him in your system, he's good. But when he's out the building, man, you got to worry about his weight and stuff. I was like, oh, dang, that's kind of a harsh reality there. But it's true. And Coach Saban's going to shoot you straight. But I do think with Ty Simpson, probably widely regarded as that number two quarterback, it's hard to see him not going in the first round, like you said, even if it's just late. So I think he does end up hearing his name. So I'm going to go with two players tonight as well.
You just never know.
But you're right, but you never know. It could be none. I mean, it could be both guys slip out of there. Hopefully that's not the case, but knowing how the draft works, like CJ said, you just never know. We got to get out of here. Big thanks to CJ Mosley joining us here on the show. Also, big thanks to Adam of Lamprella Law Education and Advocacy. That'll do it for us on this Thursday edition. Tomorrow, we got the film guy, Brooks Austin, with the spring Alabama football breakdown right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.